The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Lynette's Shrimp House, located in Highland Park. It's Metro Detroit's premier destination, serving juicy fried shrimp, fish, and wings, alongside soul food sides and new additions to the menu, like turkey tacos and desserts. Located at 13548 Woodward in Highland Park, just north of the Davison, Lynette's is open for takeaway noon to 8 Tuesday and Thursday, noon to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Call now, get some Lynette's. Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Very glad to have you with me today. And it is April. It is supposed to snow tonight here in southeast Michigan, which is going to add to some of our stress levels, as getting out of the cocoon that we've been in for the last year is incredibly important to our mental health well-being. And it's fitting because April is indeed Stress Awareness Month. Joining me today to talk a little bit about it, ways to cope, and things that we can do to recognize when stress is actually having a negative impact on our life is Dr. Charlie Bloom. Excuse me. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance Plan of Michigan. Charlie, welcome to the Craig Folly Show. It's a pleasure to have you with me today.
Hi, Craig. Thank you very much for having me. It's nice nice to get together.
Well, and yeah, I sort of joke about the snow, but I'm serious. This is going to be something that sets people back a little bit. I mean, we have been, for many of us, in a lockdown mode for the better part of a year. Stress has had an impact on all of us, whether we recognize it or not. And this is one of those little things that might sort of set somebody off in a negative way. I mean, how conscious are most of us about the levels of stress that we're actually dealing with on a daily basis?
It's a good place to start. I think we all, and certainly I speak from some personal experience, we see it in our patients, we see it in our family and our friends. We often have to remind ourselves that we are truly in unprecedented times. For many of us, certainly that in my generation, I'm almost 50, we've never experienced anything like a pandemic, a depression, a world war. That's not to minimize experiences and traumatic issues that we have had to deal with, but certainly unprecedented times. And we're going on now over a year. It's actually now 13 months. If we all recall, it was really the middle of March that at least in Michigan, we were directly impacted by the COVID-19 and the pandemic. I think some of us, including myself, were hopeful that by this time we would be back to at least some semblance of normal. And given what's happening in our community now with, you know, now a third and or fourth surge, I think we all appreciate that we are not as far along as I think many of us hoped. And one of the things that, you know, personally and certainly advocating for our patients and our members is identifying and realizing, yes, this is stressful. Yes, there is conflict. Yes, your life is different. Anytime we think about change, that's a significant challenge to all of us. We're all creatures of habit. Some handle that better than others, or some are more in tune to some of those triggers. And I do think identification and giving yourself a break, and sometimes it's even as simple as literally sitting down and writing down some of those feelings or stress. We actually did a leadership exercise yesterday, and not knowing we were going to have this conversation, but we literally spent half of an hour of our meeting time and asked people to write down some of their feelings that they're experiencing today. And then we did a word scramble, and you know, some words were larger than others based on the number of folks that responded. And anger, stress, frustration, loss of control, those are all real feelings and real experiences that I think every single one of us in our own way are dealing with.
Well, you know, when you take a look at sort of the compounded nature of all of this, I mean, all of us are constantly worried about money. I don't care who you are. You're worried about money in some capacity, relationships. But then all the things that we took for granted have been upended over the course of the last 13 months, as you mentioned. Things like your kids being in school, going to your job on a regular basis. Add to that those people whose jobs have been taken away throughout this whole thing, adds a whole other layer to this of complexity. And from a psychological perspective, you know, how do we recognize when this is something that is becoming more than we typically can handle internally?
Well, I think there's triggers, right? And that goes to taking some time to self-reflect. So we often don't realize we have a problem until there's a crisis, right? So we often come to the realization that, yes, I might need help. Yes, I might need an intervention. Once there's actually to that boiling point or to that crisis. And what I would recommend and suggest is that we all actually are deliberate, trying to get ahead of the point or get ahead of your own situation and your own emotions to be able to either reach out, do an intervention, understand that, yes, you may, in fact, have some stressors that you might not realize prior to the point of getting to that crisis. So certainly we have lots of increases in number of those that are challenged with substance abuse, with major depression, certainly those crisis level situations. But and no doubt, I don't want to minimize the conversation around that, because frankly, that does require our attention. But I also think that there's a number of folks that are dealing with those daily changes or those daily stressors, whether that's isolation. You mentioned kids. I happen to have four kids who are all school age, have been home, in school, home. And the toll that is on them, but literally our daily life and how are we actually going to get through our day, be productive, have expectations, and know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. And again, that, a lot of that comes to that change and that loss of control. There's lots of external factors that we didn't necessarily have to deal with prior to March of last year that we now do, in fact, have to deal with. And they're changing on a daily basis.
Well, and I mean, add to the stressors of the last year, you know, the fact that we went through one of the most difficult political stretches that we've gone through in this country. I mean, everybody seems to be, just on a razor's edge when it comes to their emotions. They're lashing out at people that they've typically been friends with or people that they, you know, and there's not a lot of people to talk to. How is that complicating things, especially for those that deal with mental health?
Yeah, I think it is compounded, right? So not only do we have a pandemic, we had a very divided political landscape. We now have social media. So it was all the great things.
Yeah, add that one to it.
All right. We're on a channel right now, right? This is awesome. This is wonderful. Getting more information. But there's also lack of control. And even as I think about my kids and myself, we had this conversation yesterday during that session that I mentioned. We are now aware of a number of activities that you may never have been aware of before. So if it didn't happen and wasn't on your local news or in your community, you likely didn't know of it. Now something happens in Southern California, we in Michigan will see it on Twitter, Facebook, lots of conversations. Again, there's good things to that, but there's also this exposure that we might not have dealt with previously. I do think, the political landscape is a challenge. The job and financial resources, as you mentioned, and then certainly variances in how we're managing the pandemic. And as a scientist, so I'm a physician, one of the things that I do get frustrated with, and I understand it, but I frankly get frustrated, is we've somehow politicized science. And it's reality, but it's also very frustrating.
Well, I should remind folks, my guest right now is Dr. Charles Bloom. He, of course, is the Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance Plan of Michigan, a.k.a. HAP, joining us today to talk about April, which is Stress Awareness Month. And I think most of us are aware of the fact that stress has been increased, but I'm not sure most of us are aware of how to recognize when it's becoming a real problem. Other people may point it out to you, but oftentimes, people aren't brave enough to sit there and say, hey, there's something going on here. To recognize it ourselves is going to be difficult, obviously, but what advice do you have to people if indeed one of their friends or a loved one is really seeming to struggle?
Yeah, so I think it's really about connections. So whether that's connections with your social circle, whether that's your family, friends, isolation is real, especially as we went through the lockdown. We now are, those that are working are in remote settings most of the time. I actually got excited to come in. I came into work today because of this and wanted to make sure I had a good Wi-Fi connection. But we don't necessarily have those connection points. And then if you think about our most vulnerable, so we really do have to be deliberate. And it goes to, I mentioned it initially, it is worth going through the exercise of thinking about putting your feelings down on paper, whether that's on your computer, or whether that's on a notepad, whether that's in a conversation with a family friend or a loved one. And I do think it is a deliberate act that we don't all do. Again, until it becomes a crisis. So I would say that's one opportunity. The other is really be deliberate with interactions. So what can you do to do some deliberate outreach? Sometimes, you might think it's not necessary. You might think there's not necessarily good or value. But one of the recommendations is really find those connection points and be deliberate about creating connections again with family, friends, loved ones. Where you can do so, whether that's by telephone, whether that's now potentially in person, or now using, electronic means to do so.
Dr. Bloom, it seems for many people, if they're feeling stressed, if they're feeling out of sorts, I mean, one of the typical points that they would of contact that they would have when it comes to dealing with this is with their physician. But with the lockdowns and with the restrictions and the pressure that the healthcare system is under right now, a lot of those appointments have been not going filled. Are we concerned at all that we are losing track and letting some people slip through the cracks that otherwise, you know, a physician might catch?
Yeah, no doubt. So, what we actually saw through 2020, now we appreciated this both through mental health, as we talk about stress awareness, but also on the chronic, or management of chronic disease and illness. And we actually saw a decline in physician visits, which means you have a decline in management of chronic illness. So hypertension, diabetes, cholesterol, and then preventive services. So we've actually seen, as we have a delay in those preventive services, like getting your colonoscopy or your mammogram or your blood sugar checked, as we have delays or limited access, we actually see worse clinical outcomes that are multiple fold increased as far as progression of illness, cost of care, and ultimately worse clinical outcomes for our patients. So no doubt that's real. One thing that's nice is the mental health community is actually pre-pandemic was ahead of our medical community as far as being able to deliver virtual services, whether that's phone call, whether that's email, or face-to-face virtual interaction. And I do think it's really good for the listeners, for our membership, for our patients to understand that there are a number of opportunities to connect with your providers without having to go into the office and do a face-to-face visit.
Telehealth is one of those things that we've seen a huge boom in, obviously, over the course of this pandemic. And, you know, I want to know what we've learned through that process and how much more effective we might be at telehealth than we were before this began, because there does come a lot of learning with this.
Exponential. So what the pandemic forced us to do, we in Michigan literally had a shutdown of offices. This didn't occur across the whole country. But I will say we as an industry, a healthcare industry, what was transitioning over the course of the last 10 to 15 years with virtual care, meaning telehealth or other channels, was very slow, deliberate. Literally in 2 weeks, a number of our providers had to develop capabilities and build access to our patients who you couldn't see face to face. So again, literally in 2 weeks, we went from about 1,000 telehealth visits, meaning claims that we pay, which were face to face or virtual interactions pre-pandemic, so in March. And then by April, we are up to 90,000 virtual care visits. And so your providers, now we as a health plan have also have a means and a resource for our patients to be able to access virtual care services for medical and behavioral care. But what really matters is actually our providers have built that capability or lean on resources to be able to connect with their patients in a virtual or telehealth platform. And now, again, that we're 13 months in, I do think that's one of those things that is good and has come out of the rapid transition is we now have more means and capabilities to reach our patients where they need us or where they want us. Doesn't mean everybody wants or needs or every situation is appropriate for a telehealth visit, but certainly for those that, number one, want it and or need or are in a crisis, have the opportunity to do so.
Well, Dr. Bloom, before we get to some strategies and things for those of us to deal with stressors on a daily basis, I do still want to talk a bit about the healthcare industry itself, because at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a whole lot of discussion about the toll that was being taken on healthcare workers and the stresses that they were operating under and how difficult the situation it was, especially when, again, all of these things that normally would be a part of the life and death cycle were not part of it anymore. There weren't people there to help somebody who was, passing on. Nurses and doctors were the ones that were put in this situation, and they were seeing this all the time. They were at many times the only person there to help this person as they were progressing to that part of their life cycle. Where are we now, and what has been done in the healthcare system to make sure that these workers are taken care of from a mental health and stress perspective?
No, thanks for bringing that up. So it is very real. So we at HAP actually are part of Henry Ford Health System. So fortunate and unfortunate to be part of those conversations. I would say fortunate. Sorry about my lighting. I apologize.
That's all right.
So we are very aware, and again, getting through the first surge was its own challenge and own issue with our own employees and how frontline workers are able to deal with the stress. I was an ER physician in my former life, and that was one of the most challenging, but also I would say one of the most rewarding parts of my career and parts of my daily life was being able to support people in their greatest time of need. So I do think healthcare workers take great pride in that. But certainly as we are, again, now into our third surge, there's certainly a component of overload and fatigue. And Henry Ford Health System, thankfully, is doing a number of interventions and providing resources to our employed base, realizing that there's certainly impacts beyond our healthcare workers and certainly into the community, but providing a number of resources, whether that's a helpline, whether that's doing group conversations at the end of shifts, being able to communicate with your peers who are living and breathing the same experiences that you are on how they're dealing or unable to deal with some of those stressors.
Once again, my guest, Dr. Charles Bloom, Chief Medical Officer at Health Alliance Plan of Michigan. I want to get back to the workplace thing here for just a second, because one of the conversations that I find myself having with a lot of friends is about their status at work. Are they going to be going back to the office? Are they going to stay remote? Is my boss happy with my performance? Now, I work for myself, so I have a bit of an advantage there. I'm the one putting expectations on myself. But, you know, I talk to a number of people who really don't know what their status is. Are there superiors pleased with their performance? Should they be doing more? They feel guilty if they take a longer lunch break sitting at home and watch the soap operas for a minute rather than going right back to the desk. And that's adding to this level of stress, because there isn't that regular feedback that you would normally get while sitting in an office. And there's also, you know, some pressure coming down from above about, you know, whether or not you're actually doing your share, that nagging feeling. And that's got to be something that's impacting this a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. And so there's lots of data, actually. The Harvard Business Review just did an article on the remote workplace and what that means from a schedule perspective, the mental health of our employee base or our workforce. And certainly as a leader, what can we do to, number one, engage? And there's actually opportunity. One of the things that we didn't do before with my team is we actually now do 2 days a week. We do a huddle. So that's one of those opportunities to we used to do it once a month. We were in the office, so I think we felt more connected. But being deliberate about connections with your workforce, and then you as an individual or me as an individual worker, realizing that, yes, your workplace is different. I think it's really important to set guardrails. So as an individual, and certainly would hope that our leadership, whether that's this organization or another, is cognizant of blurring the lines of work and home. So creating guardrails and definition about a workday. I know we've struggled with it. I know I personally do too. When does the workday begin and when does the workday end? Creating some guidance and some cadence around meeting rules. And I do think we all need time to step away from the computer. I know, again, I work remotely for the most part now. So I find myself glued to my chair for 11 hours a day. I don't think that's terribly unique. So what you have to do is create time and space to be able to, number one, get up. Number two, refresh, right? You can't necessarily be at the top of your game if you're literally going from one meeting to the next. So how can you give yourself some time to disconnect, to focus, and then, self-reflection and learning? So how do I actually take some time to get away from that direct interaction of a meeting and actually take some time to learn and grow? So there are tactics. I'd say we've done it at HAP, where we've created 45-minute rules. So you have 15 minutes to personal time, get a drink, use the restroom, refocus your energy, grab notes for the next meeting. And I would suggest that I think there's some value in folks doing that. And if you work for an organization that doesn't, it's probably worth bringing that up.
I can imagine. Well, you know, for me, one of the things that helps recharge the batteries a little bit is obviously getting outdoors. And you know, winter was tough because it's cold out and that's not that enjoyable. But, you know, as spring has sprung here in Michigan, we've had some nice weeks. And I noticed a difference in my mood right away when the sun is shining. Yesterday was kind of a crummy day here, a little bit cooler, cloudy all day. And I felt it. I felt a little bit different. And then, of course, the snow we're expected to get tonight is probably going to impact it a little bit. But I mean, it seems that that's already an important part of relieving stress, maybe more so now than it has been in the past, because we have been cooped up.
Yeah, no doubt. So taking care of you, and that's one of the interventions that thank you for leading me to. So what are some things that we can do to make our mood, our stress levels diminished? And one is literally getting outside. So getting out of your chair. Seasonal affective disorder is real, certainly in the upper Midwest and in Southeast Michigan in particular. We know that it occurs. I spent 10 years in Las Vegas. So we used to actually cherish the quality or the cloudy days and think those were good quality days. That's the opposite, obviously, here in Michigan. So certainly as the weather is turning, again, taking deliberate steps, even if you don't think it's necessary, I would argue that push yourself to do so, to get out, whether that's walking around the house, whether that's actually taking a walk in your neighborhood. If you have a pet, certainly getting out and walking your pet. What I've noticed in our neighborhood is in the evening, you know, now loaded with those that are either on their bikes or on walks. And for me, I yard work is my bliss. And
that's
some people think I'm
that's
crazy.
A strange thing, but I understand.
Yeah, well, and it's something that's tangible, and yeah. You can actually see results when you're done. So if you like to have a finished product, that's certainly one way to go about it. But it is really important to get out of your office and or home as much as you can, and certainly understand we all have limits, whether that be for physical health, whether that be your living situation. But engagement with the outdoors and engagement with your community is really, really important.
Well, and I even just bring the laptop out on the front porch and get my work done in the afternoons out there. And the Wi-Fi, fortunately, at my house is good enough that I can do that. But I mean, that makes a huge difference. Just hearing the birds chirping outside while you're doing something is, it's different than sitting down here in this bunker studio that I'm in right now. But what else should people be looking for? Just to, exercise, obviously, it's the same thing. Exercise, get out there, do something, helps refresh the mind a little bit. But just finding ways to make sure that you're recognizing that stress. What should people be doing when they feel that they are getting a little bit overwhelmed?
Yeah, so I think one very small thing, and it is we've already covered it a bit on whether that's exercise or getting out, but it's really taking care of your body. So many of us, I included, have gained weight, have become more sedentary. I happen to be a stress eater, and we all deal with stress differently. But so being mindful of what you're eating, what you're drinking, getting exercise when and where you can, certainly getting enough sleep. So some people may sleep more because of the pandemic, some less. One of the things that I mentioned in our discussion yesterday is often I think many of us, especially in the remote world, have a hard time separating from the workplace. And I find myself waking up in the middle of the night thinking about all the things that need to be done or haven't been done. It wasn't that those things didn't exist before, but there seemed to be more of a separation in work and personal life. And now that many folks are working in the home, it's really hard to separate. So again, setting those guardrails about defining the work day and defining the workplace, and then separating with family, friends, your activities, whatever that social interaction. And interaction is key. Again, whether that happens virtually, whether that happens with a phone call, or even face-to-face now that we're starting to have some advancement in ability to do so.
Well, one last question for you. And this is something that I struggle with myself, because I find myself wanting to go out and do things. And we're not quite at the point where we can do this yet. I can see people getting impatient and getting, just saying, I'm done with this, and not being smart about where we are in this pandemic. How do you urge calm and patience in people?
Yeah, I think patience is key, right? So I would say pandemic fatigue is real. I
think it's going to be something new, clinically speaking, that psychologists be talking about for decades.
Absolutely, I agree. I'm a physician. I work for a health plan who is owned by a health system. So I hope this doesn't come as a surprise, but I very much support masking, social distancing, being patient as we roll out vaccines. Vaccines are our way out of this. It will take some time still. There's certainly been frustrations with supply, ability to get shots in arms. I think we've made remarkable progress nationally and state levels over the last number of weeks. I would say we have to continue to do so, but certainly remaining diligent is really important, number one, to protect yourselves and your family, but certainly we as a community.
All right. Well, Dr. Charles Bloom, again, is the chief medical officer at HALP, Health Alliance Plan of Michigan. It is Stress Awareness Month. April is Stress Awareness Month. We certainly appreciate you being with us, sir. We will have you back because there's going to be lots to talk about as we go forward. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. This is the Craig Folley Show on Deadline Detroit. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Craig Folley Show on Deadline Detroit. I really do appreciate all of your support. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, it's important that you share it, that you rate this podcast, and that, of course, you subscribe to this podcast. It all helps, and the more sponsors we get, the more interviews we can do, the more shows I can put together, and I certainly do want to make sure that you are enjoying what you're listening to. So, if you have suggestions, you can reach out to me. TheCraigFolleyShow@gmail.com. Again, that's TheCraigFolleyShow@gmail.com. You can get through to me that way. It's very, very easy to do. And you can find me on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, just about anywhere. In the meantime, I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Looking for the latest news and information about our great city of Detroit? Head to DeadlineDetroit.com for one-stop shopping for the most important stories of the day. Deadline Detroit has some of the best journalists in town, providing original reporting, videos, and podcasts that keep you in the know about everything happening in Detroit. Become a member today, and you'll automatically be entered into a drawing for prizes, including gift cards to some of Detroit's best restaurants. Go to DeadlineDetroit.com/membership.